can't tell if the chemistry's good by looking at it. It wasn't clear yesterday. For the last time, the saltwater pool is a chlorine pool.
This is the Talking Pools Podcast with pool pros from every region in the country. If it happens in a pool, you'll hear about it here. Everything from tips and hacks to the latest tricks and trends. Breaking news, we lay it on the line. We tell it like it is because we think you deserve to know.
Good Thursday, everybody. Hi, it's Wayne with Thursdays with Wayne for the Talking Pools group. I hope everybody has had a good week. I know I have. And the day I am recording this, I don't know if you were up in the Northeast, but apparently there was an earthquake, like 5.5, 5.8 up the center of it somewhere in Jersey near a town called Lebanon, New Jersey. They said you could feel it as far south as Maryland, but honestly, where I am, nah, didn't feel a bloody thing. So, I hope everybody is okay up there. No panic or anything. If you've ever been through an earthquake, you know what I mean. Baltimore had one, oh gosh, maybe 20 years ago that basically knocked over chairs. That was about it. And I remember sitting at work in my office then, which was one-story building, and my windows right outside were the two flagpoles for the U.S. flag and Maryland state flag. And I remember looking up and seeing the flagpoles quivering, and I'm going, flagpoles don't do like that. And then I felt the wave. It was kind of neat in a way, no damage or anything. But anyhow, let's get back to business. What am I going to talk about today? Well, you know, I've collected what I call the bag o' random stuff that either people have emailed questions to me, or I've thought about, or I think need repetition, particularly since we're approaching the pool season for mostly everybody. Even though it is only, you know, early April, people, depending upon where you are, have either already started or will be starting very soon, starting up their pools. So just a couple things that entered my somewhat old mind amidst all the muddle that's up there. And we're going to talk about some of these.
The mobile WaterLink SpinTouch allows pool and spa professionals the ability to test water in the field. A patented WaterLink Spin reagent disc is used with the innovative photometer to measure 10 different tests in just 60 seconds. That's right, just 60 seconds, and you'll have results displayed simultaneously on the photometer's touchscreen. That's not all. You also have the ability to send the data through Bluetooth into a smartphone or a tablet device. The photometer can measure free chlorine, bromine, total chlorine, combined chlorine, pH, alkalinity, hardness, cyanuric acid, copper, iron, phosphate, borate, biguanide shock, and salt. The water analysis can be proactive since they are able to measure all of these important tests and recommend correct procedures to fix their water chemistry issues when using our WaterLink Solutions Pro software program. It allows pool and spa analysts the best way to achieve precise results. So simple, anyone can use it. This is the most advanced system for precise use of wet chemistry methods ever produced. Pool and spa analysts can achieve precision without time-consuming tests or cleanup procedures. This groundbreaking analysis system is so simple, no vials to fill, no prep time, no guessing. To learn more about this innovative lab, visit www.waterlinkspintouch.com. Again, www.waterlinkspintouch.com.
Couple topics that entered my somewhat old mind amidst all the muddle that's up there. And we're going to talk about some of these. So first one, actually, my wife was the one that kind of asked me about this. We've had here in central Maryland, it's rained pretty much every day since April started. I'm recording this on April 5th. But every day it has rained. It rained heavy, very, very heavy. Right now it's kind of stopped a little bit, least to the point where I can maybe mow my lawn, but a large amount of rainfall. What does that do to outdoor pools as far as the overall chemistry is concerned? And the question she asked in a kind of in a funny way, but actually it's a pretty interesting question, because depending upon how much rainfall entered the in-ground pool, can possibly affect the overall chemistry. Now, a lot of it has to do with the actual makeup of the rainwater. In a lot of cases, rain is going to be on the acidic side, and so therefore you're going to need to retest the pH, retest the alkalinity. You probably don't have to do much anything with calcium hardness and things like that, because that doesn't change too much unless there was a massive dilution. So calcium hardness, cyanuric acid, stuff like that. But I would definitely test the pH, test the alkalinity reading, because those are the two things that are going to change the quickest, or maybe I'll rephrase that, has to have the propensity to change very, very quick, and can cause some damage if you leave it alone. Now, I'm not talking areas in which you get a brief cloud burst and it comes right through. No, I'm talking about prolonged heavy rain like we've had in the Mid-Atlantic area since the 1st of April. I think I saw somewhere on one of the newscasts that since April 1st, but there's been a total of about almost 7 inches of rain in this area, which is really, really rare, especially this time of year. Yeah, I know April showers bring May flowers. Yes, I know that. But in this case, it brought a lot of headaches. I mean, my lawn outside looks like a jungle right now, and I'm not looking forward to mowing it. But well, I know I will have to once the ground dries up a little bit, because right now it's just a great big mud pot. With rain, okay, again, testing for pH, testing for alkalinity is a must, okay? Also, obviously, cleaning out the pool of any debris that might have gotten into the pool. So I'm talking branches, twigs, leaves, flower stems, small animals, whatever. Get them out of the pool, obviously. Run your filter 24/7 until everything all clears up. You might have to add a little bit of a clarifier in the water, alum. It depends on how cloudy it can get. But the cloudiness, which I will talk about in a little while, in fact, I'll talk about it next, may or may not necessarily occur. So just make sure that you retest the pH and the alkalinity after a prolonged and heavy rainfall like we've had. All right. What's the second one? Well, I mentioned it already, but it's cloudy pools. When I was working with in the industry, probably the most asked question I got, a technical question I got was, why is my pool water cloudy? And that is such a discussion because there's a lot of things that can cause cloudiness in pools, both chemically and mechanically. Okay, let's do the chemically first, since I'm more familiar with that. Obviously, water balance has a lot to do with potential scaling in cloudy water. So when cloudy water happens, the first thing you want to do is take all your basic testing. So you've got pH, alkalinity, calcium hardness, temperature, TDS, and you do your water balance calculations. And we all know that if the results of the water balance calculation is greater than a positive 0.5, there is a strong possibility that the water will scale and or cloud. This is just fact. Now, individually, a high pH and a high alkalinity can also, and or high alkalinity can cause cloudiness in water. Individually, so can a high calcium hardness reading individually. So chemically, there's a lot of things that can happen. Three strikes, alkalinity, pH, hardness, can really do a number to create cloudy pools. Now, for those of you with hot tubs, spas, etc., temperature really can contribute. The higher the temperature, the cloudy, the the possibility of cloudy water is there. And that, along with insufficient sanitation, high pH, a whole bunch of issues can happen with spas. But this is not a hot chemistry podcast. Maybe I should do one. I think I might do one on hot water chemistry for next week. So chemically, you have to worry about all those individual parameters. Now, let's look at mechanics. Okay, so what's the big thing that can cause cloudy water? Well, insufficient filtration, obviously. If your flow rate is too high or too low, that can contribute to possible cloudiness. So what is too high or too low, Mr. Wayne? Well, generally speaking, 6 to 8 hours is a good turnover rate. And we all know a turnover is the amount of time it takes for all the volume of water in the pool to go through the filtration system one time. That does not mean that you have achieved effective filtration. What it simply means is it's gone through the system once every 6 to 8 hours. You usually need 4 turnovers to get close to 100% filtration of all the water. But turnover is turnover, 6 to 8 hours. And that's generally what commercial pools and residential pools shoot for. Now, if you do your calculations and it turns out that your turnover rate is too slow, under 6, or too fast, greater than 8, you've got problems. That means you're getting ineffective filtration. How do you determine turnover rate? Well, it's really, 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 really easy. Okay. You take the number of gallons in your pool, you divide that by 60 minutes an hour, and then you divide it by your flow rate. Well, where do you get your flow rate? Your flow rate should be on a gauge on a return line going back into the pool. It's measured in gallons, GPMs, gallons per minute. So you take your number of gallons of water in the pool divided by 60 divided by your flow rate equals your turnover rate. Okay, so let's do an example class. Okay, so you have a good idea what I'm talking about. Say you have a 25,000 gallon pool. Okay, 25,000 divided by 60 comes up to 416.666 whatever. So say 416. Okay. Now your flow rate, okay, let's say it's 75 gallons a minute. Okay. So you take the 416.666 and further divide that by 75. Okay. So you have 25,000 divided by 60 divided by your flow rate. Okay. Now, if your flow rate is, now I gave an example of 75 gallons per minute. Let's make it a little bit more realistic. Let's make it 150 gallons per minute, okay? 25,000 divided by 60 divided by 150 comes out to 2.7 or 2.8 hours, okay? Is that too fast or too slow? Way, way too fast. How do you correct it? Well, you increase your flow rate. So if you take that same pool, that's 25,000, divided by 60, and then bump up your flow rate as best as you can, okay? Or rather, slow down your flow rate as best as you can to, say, 75. Okay, I hit the wrong button. So 25,000 divided by 60 divided by 75. Okay, that comes out to about not quite 6 hours, okay? So if we raised it up to, say, 85 gallons per minute, 25,000 divided by 60 divided by 85 equals, nope, I didn't want to do that. I want 25,000 divided by 60 divided by 70. Okay, that brings it up to not quite 6 hours. So if you can lower your flow rate down, okay, you will hit that 6 to 8 hour ideal range that you want for the water to go through the system one time, okay? So That's mechanical. Okay. Now, the other thing that contributes to cloudy water is a simple, what kind of filters are you using? If it's a sand filter, there's some things you need to know. Okay. Sand is great. It's not the best. It doesn't filter the best necessarily, but sand filters are have been around forever. They're easy, relatively easy. But you got to do stuff to them every now and then to make sure they're doing the right job. So you have to backwash occasionally. And even with backwashing occasionally, there comes a point where you might have to change out the sand because sand that's been in a sand filter for a long time. And what's a long time? We're talking, you know, 4 years, 5 years plus. No longer filters. Okay. Sand has rough edges. Okay. And that's what helps the filtration part of a sand filter. Now, as we can see in river rocks, you know, after water has been flowing over them for, you know, hundreds of years or whatever, they get real, real smooth. Well, that's what happens to sand granules as the water is going through the filter through the sand to filter the water, that they get rounded and they don't capture any of the debris that they need to. And they can also have something called channeling inside the sand filter. And for service techs, you kind of probably have seen this before, where instead of it being like a sand filter completely properly filled and it's nice on the top, you see these holes in it that go straight down. And water just goes straight down through the holes and back into the laterals and goes back in without ever being filtered. Okay? So old sand, number one. Number two is your turnover rate. Okay? Those two things can combine to individually cause cloudy water and to jointly cause cloudy water. Now, and what's the solution? Fret new sand. If you have a cartridge filter, okay? You can't backwash cartridge filter, okay? So what do? Well, you take it out and rinse it off and clean it and put it back in or replace it. It's pretty simple. I've seen horror pictures of cartridge filters that have never been cleaned. I have caked up grossness in them. It's just horrible. People think, oh, I'll put it in there and never have to worry about it again. No, no such thing. Okay, so take it out, clean it. Or replace it. My usual recommendation is, depending upon how long your pool season is, probably once a season, a couple times a season, change out your filter or at least clean it. More so if you've got a heavy bather load. Now, for those of you who are working with DE, you can backwash a DE filter. We all know this. You can recharge DE by filling up the leaves with fresh DE, and DE, we all know, filters the best, but still, there comes a point in which you've got to clean out those leaves, you got to replace the DE, and you got to clean it, because if you ever pulled off the cover of your DE filter, and it just looks like mud in there, you know something's wrong, okay? So, what does this all mean, Mr. Wayne? Well, what this means is that mechanically cloudy water, it can be caused by a combination or individually from too fast a flow rate, too slow a flow rate, too short a turnover time, too much of a turnover time. Old filters, non-clean filters, non-backwashed filters that can be backwashed, that kind of thing. You want to check the mechanics of the pool itself in addition to the chemistry. So cloudy water can be caused, again, by a lot. What's another one of my bag o' random thoughts? I had a discussion the other day. A friend of mine in our Talking Pools podcast had a customer who claims that the addition of calcium chloride to water to increase your calcium harness level lowered his chlorine reading. And he wanted my comments on it. And the first comment I had was, what? Never heard of that ever. And then I thought about it a little bit more and I still said, nope, never heard about it. Can't do it. So this customer's supposition was that by adding calcium chloride, you're lowering your free chlorine reading in the water. Let me tell you, folks, doesn't happen. Okay. So if somebody comes around and tells you that, find somebody else new to fix your pool or take a course and and learn the truth. But now, calcium chloride in and of itself, or any calcium hardness level in and of itself, does not in any way affect your sanitizer reading. That's not necessarily true with pH and alkalinity, but with calcium hardness, it is absolutely true. Does not affect it. So, yeah, I don't care what's on the internet, even though everything on the internet is true. It's wrong. Yeah, absolutely wrong. No, it does not do that. One of the other questions that I get in my bag of random stuff is shelf life of testing equipment, reagents, test strips, etc. What is it? Well, test kit manufacturers like Lamont and others have on their expiration dates. Okay. They might also have a lot number on there, but the expiration date is the more important thing because that tells you that under good, normal, common sense storage conditions, that product will last for X amount of time. When you're talking liquid reagents, generally speaking, it's about 2 years, assuming proper storage techniques. And what do I mean by proper storage techniques? I'm talking about, you know, common sense kind of stuff, people, you know, out of direct sunlight, in ambient temperatures, caps on tight, the correct cap on the correct bottle, see that a lot, that kind of thing. You know, common sense, don't let it freeze, don't let it bake, that kind of thing. The same thing holds true for test strips. Test strips are good for about 2 years. Now, with the test strips and the liquid reagents, some of them have shorter shelf lives than others. And basically anything that's in a solid brown container. Now, liquid testing product wise, we're talking about DPD number 2. We're talking about titration reagents used for FAS DPD testing, the drop test for chlorine. If you're testing for salt, one of the reagents is silver nitrate. That's also in a brown bottle. They're oxidizers. That's why they're in a brown bottle. And oxidizers have a very short shelf life when compared to regular reagents. Usually it's can be 6 months or less, depending upon how the reagents are stored and handled. Yeah, you can't let them be exposed to air, heat, and light for any great length of time because these oxidizers normally come out of the bottle crystal clear, but they start coming out of the bottle pink or red. And if they come out of the bottle pink or red, they're no good and will not give you the correct answer. Okay, so take a look at your shelf life. Make sure that you have fresh product when you're testing anything, particularly those areas of the country that, you know, have shorter swim seasons, like where I'm located. Don't necessarily use reagents or testing systems that have been stored, you know, outside over the winter. Don't know what to do with frozen reagents. Usually frozen reagents, liquid reagents, are still good as long as you let them thaw out at room temperature. Don't nuke them. Don't stick them in a microwave, you know, that kind of thing. Let them thaw out at room temperature. If they start developing weird colors, then you know the reagents have been compromised and whatnot. Same thing holds true with test strips. Even though you're talking about something that's a solid, essentially, freezing temperatures and it can cause a problem. Check your shelf lives, get fresh product at the beginning of every season, and you should be good to go. Next topic, and the last one is a big one that I get is what's the difference between using OTO or DPD when you're testing for chlorine? And this is a biggie because I still see and I still know of service people using OT, which, you know, if you're doing that, hold out your hand, let me slap it. It's bad. Well, it's not that it's bad. It's that it's just the wrong one. Let's go back to chlorine 101 and talk about the differences. Chlorine is a halogen on the chemical table. And by that, the two methodologies available to test for chlorine, OTO and DPD, are easily done for halogens. OT or orthotolidine, produces a yellow color when it's added to a sample of water that will measure total chlorine, period. End of story. It cannot and does not measure free chlorine. Why is this important? Because remember, free chlorine is the active sanitizer and oxidizer. It's what you want in your water to sanitize and oxidize and make it safe for people to use. Duh. Okay. Using OT to test for chlorine will give you a number, but you don't know how much of that number is free chlorine, and you don't know how much of that number is what's called combined chlorine. Well, what's combined chlorine? Remember kiddies. Combined chlorine is the mathematical difference of total chlorine and free chlorine. So if you are using orthotolidine and you get a total chlorine reading of 4, okay, you may think, oh, well, that's pretty good. Well, you don't know how much of that 4 is actually free chlorine. Impossible. The way to measure free chlorine is using DPD. DPD specifically targets free chlorine and will give you an appropriate number. So you would do your test normally by doing a free chlorine procedure first, and then with the same sample, adding another reagent to produce a different color that would be representative of the total chlorine reading. Then you subtract your free from your total, and you get your combined, and combines the not-so-great sanitizer and oxidizer that can cause smells and irritations and things like that. So you have to be able to break up that reading. So free chlorine is what you should be testing with. DPD, it's a pink color. Well, red, light pink to the deeper red. Okay, but that's what you should be using. You should not use orthotolidine. And if any homeowners are listening and you have a service tech that comes in and he's using OTO, to produce a yellow color, I suggest you get a new service person because they don't know what they're doing. I'm going to be blatantly obvious about that. They simply don't know, and they probably don't care. Okay, DPD is the way to go. So that's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning in to listen to me ramble. Every now and then, I'll do a bag o' random questions, bag o' random thoughts kind of podcast. If you would like to contribute something to that, please feel free to do so by sending an email to talkingpools@gmail.com. And we will get them and get it sorted out to me, and I'll be able to take a look at them and include them in the next podcast or podcast after that. If that is all for today, I think that I have. Everyone have a wonderful week and a safe week, and I'll be talking at you next Thursday. Take care. Bye-bye.
I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you for listening today. I'm hoping you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together for you. Listen, it's been a couple of wacky, crazy, screwed up years from pandemic to Poolmageddon. I just want you to know that we are all in this together. If there's anything that we can do for you, send me an email at talkingpools@gmail.com. Again, that's talkingpools@gmail.com. We're here. This is your podcast. We are the Pool People's Podcast, of the pool people, for the pool people, by the pool people's body. Podcast. This one is about you. So thank you for tuning in and listening. Do me a favor, click subscribe before you go. That way you don't miss an episode.